afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, but I also want to say to you, if you just stumbled on the dial and you have no faith to speak of, I'm so glad you're here. I pray that you'll stick with us and listen. I trust that God will speak to you straight to your heart in a profound way, and some way he'll let you know how much he loves you. So I'm really glad you tuned in. Well, here's a question for you. How do you know if you're ready to propose? How do you know? How do you know if the relationship that you're in is a healthy, sustainable one? Well, even if you're married or you're single and don't intend to get married, I'm just telling you, today's conversation, you'll get a kick out of it. You'll be entertained at least, but I think you'll even be equipped in your own relationships. My guests today are my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. We have them on regularly just because of the holidays and different things. It's been over a month since we've been together, so I am excited. I know there are several stories that Smalley's have ready to share with us. Couple quick announcements. You maybe have heard about our writers conference. We sort of shot it out of the cannon last summer, and it was huge. We sold out right away. We had a long waiting list, which we had to cut off. Absolutely amazing. Well, we're coming back this summer, and it's bigger and better than ever. We're expanding it to Friday night, as well as three specific tracks that will take place Friday in the afternoon. That's a separate price, but you could either take the Jumpstart track if you've never ever stepped foot into the literary world but you want to explore getting published. There's the Advanced track. You have to actually qualify for that, have a couple books under your belt, and you apply for that on the website. And then there's the Singer-Songwriter track. Those are all available Friday afternoon. And then Friday night, the general conference starts. We worship. We do a meet and greet with the faculty. It's going to be amazing. And then we have the all-day Saturday. So the reason we're talking about it now is because we have a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and that is pure gold. You get a chance to meet an editor, agent, or an expert in the field face-to-face for about a 10-minute meeting, pitch your idea, get your questions answered. This is an amazing opportunity. That's why we're talking about it now. If you want to sign up and grab your one-on-one appointment, now is the time to do it. Hop on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, real quick, we're so honored to be partnering again with International Justice Mission and Venture to raise money to end human trafficking. Last year, we raised $50,000, and this is how we did it. We exercised. So we're asking you to decide, set a goal for February, how many miles you can walk, bike, or run. We make it very easy. All you have to do is hop on the website, livefreechallenge.org, livefreechallenge.org, and you make your goal, and then you put it out on your social media sites, ask people to sponsor you for your miles. Our goal and our hope this year is to raise $63,000 because that's the number of 10 rescue operations for IJM. Hope you'll join us. Again, check it out at livefreechallenge.org. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Aaron Smalley serves as a Strategic Marriage Spokesperson for Focus on the Family. They're both authors and speakers, and they love doing marriage intensive seminars together. They have three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and son, Garrison. And they have a son-in-law, Caleb, who married their oldest daughter. What a beautiful family they have. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the show.
We're excited to be here. It's been a while.
I know. We just thought you were tired of us.
Well, we changed the numbers and the locks, but you soon got wind of that. So somehow, some way, you landed here. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I kept calling, and it was a pizza place, so very confusing.
Our plan to eliminate you was almost complete.
Focus kept following up. Hey,
they got
Greg
in.
And Aaron, people.
No, we really missed you, and it's so good to have you. And you've been on the show so many times, but you know this. We love to start by talking scripture. So, Greg, we're going to have ladies go first, if it's okay. Aaron, let's start with you.
Yeah.
Yes. This is one that it's a verse that's very common, and many have heard of it, studied it. But it just stood out to me the other day. I was doing a Devo with our youngest daughter, and it's in Matthew 14:29 when Jesus tells Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water. And so he did. And then he got scared. And so he started to sink. And, you know, Jesus basically said, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And because Jesus immediately reaches out and takes hold of him. And I just loved that the scripture that we read together with little Annie, because it's so applicable to every single circumstance. And even as you're thinking of marriage, that, you know, keep your eyes on him and, you know, pay no attention to these waves and the stuff that is distracting you. Keep your eyes on him.
Very good. What do you say, Greg?
As I think about this, Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, where it talks about that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and this mystery is profound. I love how Paul uses that idea of marriage really truly being a mystery. And for a lot of people, as they're thinking about marriage, is it even time to propose? It can feel like a mystery. Like, how do you really, really know? And that's a big part of what Aaron and I love to talk about. And we individually meet with young people thinking about, boy, I feel like popping the question. I'm not sure I'm ready. How do you really know? And we try to remove some of that mystery. And because I think there are some important things to really be aware of as someone thinks that through. So you might know someone who's in a pretty serious relationship that could use this, or you might have a son, daughter.
Mm-hmm. It seems the parents are the ones who want this list.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can hand it over and say, okay, these are what you should be looking for. And, you know, these are questions you should be asking and questions they can be asking.
Okay, let's start with the first one, relationship with God. I love God more than boyfriend or girlfriend, and he's my top relationship priority. God is my true source of fulfillment. That's something that is so core, but we don't get there automatically, I feel like. I mean, that's something that you have to cultivate and walk intimately with God so you start to know his character, you develop a history with him, for that to be a sustainable part of who you are. Do you know what I mean?
And it seems like the thing we should say. So as Christians,
exactly,
we should start with our relationship with God. But let me underscore why we actually have this as number one. Mm. And let me go at it sort of through a back door. You know, Aaron and I did for many, many years, we led these marriage intensives. So these couples in crisis would come and we'd work with them for multiple days. Well, I just did one last week. Mm. So as a group, there were five couples. And I'm telling you, Susie, that the biggest thing that stands out to me that's true for all these hurting couples. So it doesn't matter how many years they've been married, they're stuck, they're wounded, they're hurting, are we going to make it? What's going on for them is I think that our culture perpetuates some really, really nasty myths that we've all sort of bought into. And in You see this even with a very popular thing that we do at weddings. So many people had the unity candle, right, in their wedding. Mm-hmm. We had a unity candle too.
And it's exactly what Greg is saying, that this is a common thing that we do at weddings. But yet when you really start thinking about the meaning of it, that, you know, you have the three candles and you blow the two outer ones out and light the middle one because you're becoming one. But the truth is, there's still two people, two individuals that need to be whole and healthy to make up a healthy marriage. And so thus it perpetuates this idea that we need to, you know, depend on the other one to make us healthy. You know, they're the answer to all of our problems. And it sets up this codependent, nasty relationship that's not healthy. Because again, two healthy individuals are going to make up a healthy marriage.
Well, you can sure really see how unrealistic expectations could come out of that mindset, couldn't they?
Oh, very much so. And that's the problem, is that for so many people, we enter into marriage believing that now I finally found this person who's going to meet my needs. And actually, we believe that it's their job to meet my needs. I mean, I remember getting married thinking, great, now, you know, I have all these amazing, wonderful, valid, awesome needs that Aaron really needs to meet. That's kind of her job. And she stood up there.
It's a great opportunity.
I seem to remember.
She said yes at some point.
Greg, I seem to remember you saying, I'm a smallie. How hard can this be?
Exactly. Yeah. We should have had a very easy marriage because all she had to do was meet my needs.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Susie.
Well, I just think go ahead. We're just tripping over each other. I just think it's so interesting here where you gave us, you're always so great about equipping me for the show with, you send you guys this information, and you have this juxtaposition of this list of just taking inventory of how do we know we're ready to propose, but you also have a list of red flags. And I find it interesting that your first question as far as, do you have a thriving relationship with God that's your top priority? Well, the first red flag is, oh, no, that's not the first one, but it's one of them, is that it's a soulmate, that you're the one. You're my one and only. And those two, you can see how kind of are at odds with each other. So, and you don't believe that there's just a one and only, do you?
We don't, because it again, what that implies is that there's this one person wandering that I've got to find. And once I find that person, then they're going to finally love me the way that I need to be loved. They're going to meet my needs in the way that they need to be met. And that's what we keep seeing within these intensives when these couples are coming, because they're on the brink of divorce. What's happened is they've bought into this sort of codependent relationship. It's your job to meet my needs, my job to meet your needs, and it just doesn't work. It sets them up. As a matter of fact, the only thing you think about, that unity candle, we blow out the two individuals and we light the one. So we're kind of focused on the marriage as the priority, and that oneness is the priority. The problem is there's only two things of those three, the marriage and the two individuals, that are eternal. And that's the individuals. The marriage isn't. We're not going to be married in heaven. And yet for so many people, they put such a priority on that marriage. And in many ways, it becomes an idol. And how do we get our needs met? And that's why we say that actually the best place to begin to really understand, if you want a great marriage, it's I have to, as an individual, understand my relationship with God, and how do I continue to take well care of myself and keep plugged into Him as the source.
Boy.
Versus seeing that somehow that Aaron is gonna meet that need. And it's a subtle message.
It's subtle,
I think,
but
a lot of people miss it.
Indeed, it's subtle yet so important. You can see, you know, Kevin, my hubby's a sailing captain. He says you can be off course by just a couple of degrees and end up hundreds of miles off course if you don't tweak right away. So this is a very important distinction we're going to explore. As I told you, friends, whether you're married or you even want to be single, these are really important relationship ideas. So talking about just a core prioritized relationship with God. When we come back, we'll talk about being equally yoked and seeking godly counsel. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, a Focus on the Family. If you've got questions, we're not taking calls today, but you sure can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family, talking about how you know if you're ready to propose. And as I said at the beginning of the show, though, this information, so much of it applies to all of us in the way that we walk with God and walk with each other. So hang with me, because you're going to get some good stuff out of this interview. That was so interesting. You guys always come up with a fresh angle. And before the break, you were saying some people prioritize marriage. And a significant part of your ministry is compelling people to prioritize their marriage. But you're saying we can go to the next place, to the point where marriage in itself becomes an idol. And you're saying cultivate an intimate walk with God individually so that you can come to the marriage healed and whole and healthy. And you two both do that. And yet this is living proof of why you need it. You've just come through a significant season, I think, of what has seemed like spiritual warfare. So talk about that.
Yeah, that's so true. I wish way back in my early 20s, as I was thinking about, boy, is it time to ask Aaron to marry me, that someone really would have sat me down and said, Greg, here's the deal, that you, before you should ask her to become your wife, you need to make sure that you absolutely know how to get filled up by God first and foremost, because Aaron cannot play that role ever, because she will fail, and it'll make you mad, and it'll create problems. If you see her as your source, then you are setting yourself up for a tough time. And that's why we begin. And I'll tell you, Satan certainly doesn't want us to get this. And I think there, so much of what he does is that spiritual warfare to sort of take me away from God and get me plugged into other things. And I, you know, for us, even this past season, this holiday season for us was tough.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of warfare, it felt like.
Yeah. A week, 3 days before New Year's Day, our son, who's 16, just mentioned to me his neck hurt. And I could tell it was a little swollen, so I took him to the doctor the next day, and they weren't quite sure what it was. And long story short, New Year's Day night, we were back in the urgent care because they thought it was mono. So I was like, well, your neck's getting bigger and bigger. It's just it's a mono thing. And so we went in, and it turned out that he had developed a huge abscess in his neck muscle. And they don't know where it came from, why it's there. It should never happen again. And so he ended up being hospitalized for 5 days and having surgery. And it was hard because I, in the middle of sleeping in the chair straight up next to his bed in the hospital room, I realized my word for 2018 I had deemed was embrace. And I sat there thinking, I told you not to do that. I know. I'm not going to embrace this. Are you kidding me? But then I realized amidst that challenge that embracing what we were going through meant that I was keeping my eyes on God. And, you know, amazing when you're going through challenges just to look and see how God shows up. Yeah. And he's faithful. He is. And we went home 4 days later and I was really sick and found out I had pneumonia the next week. And then my first day out of bed and to take a shower in 4 days, I took him back to the doctor and they told us again, you need to go back to the hospital. It doesn't look like this is healing well. So it's just been, and Greg was out of town. Did I add that in? Because of course, anything that's going to go wrong is going to happen when your husband's out of town. So it just is, it has been a challenging start to the new year. But also, I as I reflect on it, I wouldn't want to walk any challenge without God. But then also just the gift of my spouse. Not that he is there to, you know, meet my needs, but it sure is nice to have a journeying partner to walk alongside of each other through the challenges.
Wow. And how is Garrison now? Is he fully recovered?
He's definitely well on that road. So he's definitely out of that danger zone that was so exhausting, so mentally taxing and scary. I mean, there were times where I was going, I mean, is this going to manifest into a true serious problem in staying at the hospital, sleeping there? You know, I mean, you don't really sleep because the alarms are going off all night. And When I came, so Erin and I were kind of switching off. So I'd stay, she'd go home and sleep, she'd come, and then I'd go home and sleep. So I was so exhausted. At one point, our poor postal worker, our delivery guy in our area, stopped by, knocked on the door, and answered it. And I think he was having a hard time, a bad day, because he was sort of snapping at me. Because I didn't sign this slip that so he could redeliver a package, and I felt like he was attacking me, like he was somehow. I just felt it was rude, and he was like attacking me over something. Of course, so then he and I literally get into this verbal spar, and my kids are coming by, going, "Who's Dad yelling at? You know, what's going on?" Which is so unlike me. I mean, I never do that. And yet I was just so worn out that I felt terrible, that I think I took out a lot of my fear and frustration out on our poor, awesome postal employee.
So let's just summarize that. You're blessed if you didn't come to our front door.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where the warfare piece comes in, because it's like the arrows start to come from every angle, and anybody can be an ugly self when you have enough stuff coming at you and you're exhausted and kind of deprived of sleep. Do you know what I'm saying? And who knows what he was going through as well. But that's what just makes it hard. And
it was a wild deal. I really felt like it was this weird spiritual battle, because I was so exhausted. And it's in those moments that where am I turning then to get re-energized and filled back up to whatever degree is possible in those kind of crisis moments. If I see it as Aaron's job to fill me up, to meet some need, to whatever, then it's such a difficult formula to make work. It just doesn't work within the marriage. Mm. And we spent many years kind of seeing each other as the source and in mm-hmm. certain ways. And that's why that's the place I always want to begin with young people thinking about marriage, or even if it's a remarriage, is really, truly, man, who's your source?
Yeah.
And it is not him. It is not her.
That's right.
It's our Father. And what does that then look like? And that was one of the biggest things I talked to our new son-in-law. Well, they've been married officially a year.
Yeah, they were one year anniversary
on
Monday.
Not that new anymore. But that, because I just wanted him to know, I know you may not know how to do this exactly right, and you're going to be maturing your relationship with God the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, if you see my daughter somehow is holding something that you need, and so you're going to spend all your time trying to get her to meet that need, I don't give you my blessing. And he had this really wide-eyed kind of, what? And so it was a good discussion. And again, I didn't expect him as a young 20-year-old to get this any more than I did, but I wanted him to really hear that. And that's why we always start with that one.
Right. Okay, guys, we've got about a minute and a half to our hard break at the bottom of the hour. So I feel like we really did touch on this relationship with God. And then you want to say more about spiritual oneness, being equally yoked. We're both Christians pursuing a relationship with Christ individually and as a couple. So, again, this applies to should we get married, but also I think to if you already are married. So now you've got a minute. Can you say a word about it? And we'll take it over to the other side.
Yeah, it's essential that we are continuing to grow together in God, with God, and to, you know, in our oneness, our spiritual unity. And I've talked with many couples who they're heading towards engagement and they're going, you know what? There's this one thing in our relationship that is not honoring God, and we want to get rid of it. And just watching couples be brave and courageous to step up and say, you know what, I want to do this differently. I want to pursue God, and I want him first, and I want to pursue God with you, and I want a relationship that honors God.
Mm, boy.
And Susie, and I think what's key that Aaron is saying, this is the only thing that God talks about in the Bible as it applies to premarital couples. The only one thing that he says is you need to both be believers. You need to be Christ followers.
Wow, very good. Are you ready to propose? And as I said, this really does apply to relationships as well. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. When we come back, we'll talk about the importance of seeking godly counsel, why that's important, what that even looks like. Not just seeking out people who tell you what you want to hear, but who tell you what you need to hear. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So glad to have my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family, joining us today. They join us on a regular basis. Today we happen to be talking about just the question, are you ready to propose? And I want to just make this caveat, though. If you're married, these points apply to you and they apply to me, too. And as always, Smalley's always have such great wisdom to share. We've been walking through this kind of criteria. One is having a relationship with God. Two is a oneness with God. Are we both believers, equally yoked, each individually pursuing a walk with God? Well, this third one is the seeking godly counsel and having the support of loved ones. Love for you both to speak to that one.
You know, Susie, as we've done some research around this, just looking at these factors, are there more important factors that we're kind of talking about? This is one that really stood out and kind of rose to the top. That it's a strong predictor if you're ready to propose, if you've really sought godly counsel from your close friends, family, loved ones, the people who really know you. What do they think about this relationship? And if they're in support of it, but that's a strong sign. That's a good thing. The problem is that the people who are really make up your key support system, if they're concerned, if they have questions, if there's something about their gut that they're not feeling right, that is so important to pay attention to that, not just to blow past that, run over that, challenge that, argue, debate that, but to really listen. As a matter of fact, when Caleb, my son-in-law, was talking to me saying, hey, I'd like to have the talk, you know, I want to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage, I told him I actually can't even have that conversation with you until I talk to your dad. And he went, why? I said, because I need to know first and foremost that your parents are in total support of Taylor and of this relationship going to that next level. Or for me, I couldn't give you my blessing right then and there. And so I had never met his family, his parents. And so I said, so give me your dad's cell phone number and I'll just text him, introduce myself, ask if we can talk. And so Caleb gave me his dad's number. So I text this number and I just introduced myself. He's Greg Smalley. Our children are dating one another. I think Caleb's getting pretty serious, wants to talk to me. So I just need to know how you feel. I couldn't have that conversation until I know that you are in support of this relationship. I mean, that's what I said over text. So I get this response, and this is, Susie, literally what the response said. It said, hey, great to meet you, Greg. My son's been dating several other women, so I'm actually not sure which of those women is Taylor. Could you send me a picture so I can know who of those women are Taylor? Because a couple of them I wouldn't want him to be with. and I literally was thinking, what just happened? And so I was at work, and so I showed some of my colleagues going, do you think this is serious? And they're like, it sounds, I don't know.
Well, we had heard that he wasn't like the super funny guy.
Yeah.
So we were like, is this legit?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to wring this kid's neck. And so I'm waiting for the, hey, just joking, and it never came. I mean, hours went by, and I'm just going, what is happening? Finally, I get a text, and it says, hey, Greg, this is so-and-so. Actually, I'm not Caleb's dad. This is the wrong number. I thought I'd have a little bit of fun with you. I encourage you to get his dad's number.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my goodness. So,
First of all.
That was run strike against Caleb right off the bat.
I was going to say, well played by this guy, because that's
it was
funny.
Very, yeah. I respect that.
I know you do because you love practical jokes. But the idea that you didn't act in those hours is amazing self-restraint, because you could have jumped. You could
unlike
jump.
What he did with the postman.
Exactly. This would have happened on a different day.
Yeah. I wasn't exhausted.
Yeah. But oh, my goodness. Susie, it's not just the parental, permission. It's also, how do your friends and other family members feel about this relationship? And I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful things we saw at Taylor and Caleb's rehearsal dinner, there was just a time of sharing, and, usually three or four people share. I cannot even tell you, I would say 80% of the people in this room shared, and it was a lot of their friends and family, just about how precious each of them were individually to them, but then how they loved them together.
Wow.
And just how much the impact they had already had as a couple on other people. And many of them were young millennials saying, you know what, I want what I see you guys have. And I just loved it. It was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful example of just community coming around to support one couple who's standing up and saying, we want to do this. We want to get married. And just a beautiful, beautiful support. And so it's important to recognize, are your friends and other family members, as well as your parents, supportive of this marriage?
Let's flip this around. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, I was saying, if someone does have a concern, The best way to handle that, again, is not to be defensive and to debate that. Mm-hmm. It's just genuinely, you're still the ultimate decision maker. It's your choice. God gave you that free will to choose whoever you want as your spouse. So my encouragement would be, find out what is it really that they're concerned about. Really dig into that. Try to understand it. And then take that to the Lord. He'll confirm that. He'll speak truth. Ask other people, hey, someone's concerned about this. Do you share that? Do you see that? And that's how you can work through if someone has a concern.
And what I want to flip this around on its head a little bit, because let's say you're talking to somebody who's a new believer. They don't have a supportive family structure, maybe a very dysfunctional family structure, and they've found somebody who's pretty great, but they've got all this opposition from people who have skewed perspectives. I mean, clearly they've got to have maybe a pastor, youth pastor, other godly influences in their lives, but they're maybe in this unique situation where they're getting opposition, but maybe it's not opposition from God. Do you know what I mean?
True. And I would say the easiest way to deal with that is go find a local Christian counselor and mm-hmm. say, could we do five, six sessions with you, really talking about our relationship, do some premarital counseling mm-hmm. and allow that person to really understand you guys and in some of the dynamics, and that person will probably do an assessment. And so that would be, if you're not sure you're getting good advice, then go to a professional. Aaron, as a counselor, does this all the time with couples.
I've seen several couples that aren't even engaged yet, but they want to assess the relationship with, should we be moving forward? So it's like pre-engagement counseling. And, you know, it's a great way to just take a look at what's working in this relationship, what is not. Mm-hmm. And is it something that we can work on as individuals and as a couple, or is it something that we maybe need to walk away from?
Mm, very good. Okay, here's another one. Listened to my gut. Are you ready to propose? If you've listened to your gut, you've paid attention to your gut, and you feel that getting married is the right decision, your heart doesn't feel heavy, tense, confused, uneasy, or pressured. Speak to that one, Greg, and then Aaron.
Yeah, I think for some people, when they're in a relationship, can sort of ignore that part of them that's just that gut feeling that something isn't right. And so it's important not to blow past that. It's important to actually listen to your own gut. When I think about this relationship, when I think about the future, boy, how do I feel about that? And if there's some angst, if there's some concern, if there's a check in your spirit, let that be okay. Go to a pastor, go to a counselor, mm-hmm. and a wise mentor, and just say, man, you know, I love this person. And yet, boy, when I really think about a long, you know, a marriage, I experience some gut reaction. Is it fear from the fact that your parents were divorced? And so you're nervous. Can we make it? Or is it, I see some things that I'm concerned about that I'm not sure this person's dealing with. And so follow that, pay attention to your own gut, and then go process that with someone, and you'll get some good advice on what to do. Maybe it's to step back, slow things down, go get some counseling, work that out together.
Mm-hmm. Another portion of that is, you know, really thinking about, I cannot imagine a life without my boyfriend, girlfriend in it. And I can remember someone very wise said that to Greg. And I remember I was so,
John Trent.
It was, I was so annoyed because I was like, what, why would he be asking you that? Of course you can't imagine life without me. And how confident was I? But really underneath that was a lot of insecurity. And you know, but it's true. Like, you know, I even think about what we've just been through. And if I would have thought, you know, years and 25 years ago, you know, if I was going through a really hard season, who would I want walking by my side? And you know what? I chose well. God helped me choose well.
Yeah. What I love about the idea of paying attention to what comes up is that that's information, as you guys often say. So because it's going to happen. I mean, you're about to make a life change like that. Stuff may surface that may not necessarily be about the other person, but just stuff that God wants to heal in you. And I would imagine some people go, okay, I can't do this. So they sabotage a perfectly viable relationship rather than process through information that needs to be processed through. I mean, what do you say?
Well, that's so true. And so, again, part of it is that, well, I'm feeling something here, and it could be based on your own issue. It could be based on a family of origin issue that's, you know, stirring up some fear. It could be something that's going on that you see within that person. So just to trust your gut, pay attention to that, let that just be okay, and go talk to someone and to help you really understand what is that about. Is it a couple things? Is it one thing? And it's okay. This is a decision that you are making that's about you're making a lifelong covenant decision between you and this person and you and the Lord. And that's a serious thing. So don't blow past some whatever going on in your gut. Let that matter.
So, Aaron, another point to pay attention to is this a lifelong commitment? I mean, do you share the perspective that we're burning the ships, you know, we're in this for the long haul. Speak to that one.
Yeah. I wish someone would have said that to me, prior to getting married, just, you know what, hey, this is, this is lifelong. And, you know, remove the word divorce. We've talked about that a lot on the show. Just, you know, remove the word divorce from your vocabulary because you're entering into this. I mean, I knew it was lifelong, but, you know, of course, there was always that that option out. But when you are entering into choosing your lifelong partner, it's like you said, burn the ships. There isn't another way out. We are in this and we are going to work through the hard times. We're going to celebrate the good times like crazy, and we're going to support each other through all of the ups and downs. And it's, you know, it's just a mindset. Make sure before you walk into, you know, something that is so the rest of your life, so serious, make sure that you both have that perspective.
Boy, let's pause here. When we come back, I'd love for you both to speak to the idea of the importance of having similar values and dreams. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, talking about how you know that you're ready to take the next step and propose and plan a wedding. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Great day today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. And they join us on a regular basis, and we have different topics based on what they've been talking about, doing interviews on, writing about. So today we're talking about how do you know that you're ready to propose? We've been walking through a list, but here we are at number six, similar values and dreams. And you're right, we've talked about our values and dreams for what the future might look like, both individually and as a couple. And we agree that we're moving in the same direction. Aaron, why don't you take it from there?
You know, it is so important to, you know, to share your dreams and, you know that you have similar values. I can guarantee you the transition into marriage is hard enough. But if you have similar values, I mean, research is strong that shows that couples that share similar values, you know, that they do better in marriage and have better marriage satisfaction. You know, I know this couple who they got married and the husband was wanting to be a pastor, but then suddenly things changed and he wanted to become a doctor. And 25 years later, they're still working through, you know, how they made that decision in sharing the dreaming process together, because I don't know that she was fully on board. I don't know if she spoke up or not, but, you know, it's important to recognize each other's dreams beforehand to see, you know, is this something that I can sign up for, that I'm wholeheartedly in? You know, if they want to go and be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, you know, are you open to that? Is that something that you can see yourself doing and sharing with your spouse?
Well, Aaron, you really do, as you said, have to talk thoughtfully about it, because I know plenty of women who are my age who felt like they had those conversations would say now that both were just maybe giving lip service, like that might be a good idea. And then one took a completely different trajectory and took the family with them, and it felt like it was not a win-win. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
How important that is to give some real serious thought to that.
In serious conversation, and even for those out there that are married, you know, that as you are dreaming and, you know, continuing to feel led in different directions, that you're talking as a couple and dreaming together. So it goes from being an individual dream to a shared dream, and that your spouse is on board, that it is a win-win, and that in continuing to talk about it through the transition and over the years, continue to talk about it. So often couples stop dreaming together. And it's a travesty to marriage, because it's something that we have, again, a journeying buddy to go with us. And how awesome is it as you're stepping out into new territory and terrain that you have someone with you who's with you and for you.
Very good.
And I think, Susie, what's so important is that it really then also sheds light on what we believe is another key piece to talk through to know if you're ready to propose, is that we're able to walk through and manage conflict successfully. That we've, because a lot of couples, maybe they were dating long distance, maybe they didn't have a lot of opportunity to disagree and to work through that. But that's another one of those that it's so critical that you have the opportunity to see how does this person handle my heart when we disagree? Does this person see us as a team? Therefore, we will either win together or lose together. And so we've got to find solutions that feel like win-wins. You know, it's those kinds of things that are important, because you have to matter. When you guys disagree, you know, both people have to have space and be allowed to be a part of the marriage and in working through problems. And so that's a big one that's critical. And the research is so strong that shows for successful marriages are ones that know how to walk through conflict, because we're all going to have it. We're going to disagree. That's okay. No big deal. But how do we treat each other? Do I just instantly give in? Do I avoid conflict, or am I willing to be honest and say, you know what, this isn't working for me? Can we figure out something that feels good to both of us?
And as we've talked about so much, we did not do this well
early
on terrible. In our relationship, because we all come into our marriage with different conflict styles from our family of origin. And the good news is, if you're contemplating getting engaged and this is an issue in your relationship, go in and learn some conflict management skills. We've had the opportunity to do that on the other side after we were married, and we continue to learn and grow in our conflict styles. So just go in and talk about it. Don't be afraid, because if anyone can learn it, I mean, I have come so far in my ability to manage conflict. And so if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Boy, that's such a good word. One other quick note about that, because there are times when you just want so much to get married that you say whatever the other person wants to hear. And that's why we're saying talk thoughtfully and honestly. But there are other times where you really mean what you say. You get married and the dream does change, or you try something out and you go, you know, that wasn't for me. I guess I do want to go be a doctor, not a pastor, whatever. You know, and I always say God's will for one in the marriage doesn't contradict his will for another. And so there is a way to sort through those changes together so that there isn't resentment down the line. So just say a word, if you would, about just because you guys always talk about if it's a win for one and a loss for the other, it's a loss for the team. So present the team concept here before we move on.
Yeah, we love to envision marriage, or at least I do, is this journey, this canoe trip down this, you know, river. In what I love about that is thinking about our marriage as a journey implies that we really never know what's around the next bend in the river. It could be rapids, it could be smooth sailing, there could be some bluffs that we could jump off and have fun, there could be danger. We never know. But what we do know is that Aaron and I are a team in that canoe. And that our ability to navigate and work together is key as we just encounter and go through life, because life will have its twists and turns. And yeah, you may have thought you wanted to be pastor, and all of a sudden now your dream is to be a doctor. That's the stuff you can't predict. A child who is born with a special need, or a, you know, or a major issue, or a parent dies instantly when you get married. I mean, there's you just never know. But what we do know is that we're in this canoe together for the rest of our lives, and we need to work together. And therefore, we have to see us as a team. And when you're on the same team, yet one of you can't win and the other loses. That's why when you're working through how do we solve this, you want to be a doctor now, and I thought you wanted to be a pastor. If you approach those as, you know what, we're on the same team, so we need to figure out a solution that both of us feel great about. If that's your attitude, and you strive to go, we will fight for each other. We will fight for our unity. We will fight for our oneness and preserve that as we encounter problems and trials and decisions that we have to make. That's the key. It's not how do we avoid the tough stuff. How do we, you know, get smooth sailing? It's not possible. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:28 that for those of you who do marry, you will experience hard times. And so it's not trying to avoid or not encounter the hard times. It's really going, hey, when we hit the hard times, how will you and I remain a strong, united team? And if that's your goal, that you'll get there. But that took us right here. That took us a long time to really figure out how to walk that out.
Well, because we were living out of the opposing thought of that we were, you know, when it came to these decisions or, you know, differences of opinion, we were opposing each other instead of really working together in unity with each other. And so it's just the mindset. First and foremost, the mindset is life changing within a marriage.
So, Aaron, would you say, maybe I'm going to ask it this way, what do you like about yourself or as a couple? What do you like about you guys as a couple with regards to how far you've come in handling conflict? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are one of the things you appreciate as far as your go-tos, your mindset, how you reframe your perspective so you can get back in stride again?
You know, it's taken a long time. I mean, I tell my clients, we teach this stuff and we still get locked in at times. The thing that I love about us is that I know we'll work through it. I'm
it's
very
grit.
Confident
awesome.
That we will get to the other side of it. There may be some ugly twists and turns, kind of like Greg with the postman, but you know what? I know I'm confident that we will get to the other side of it and that we'll be better because of it.
Yeah.
That we will get there.
And you both model that so beautifully. Appreciate so much. So much. And as we get ready to wrap here, Aaron, I'm just thinking of someone listening today who's weary in well-doing in marriage and feeling like they've developed bad habits when it comes to conflict and wanting a fresh start. Wondering if you would pray for that person today.
Absolutely. Lord, we just come before you, Jesus, and ask that you meet the hearts that are hearing this right now, Lord, that you bring them hope and encouragement, Lord, that you help them to get their eyes off of their circumstances and put their eyes up on you, Lord, just like Peter. So he started sinking, but then when he looked at Jesus, he'd stop sinking. So Jesus, just help these listeners to know that there is hope, but they need to turn to you for that hope. Lord, we just thank you and praise you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Love you both so very much. And let's not let so much time pass between visits this time, okay?
Yeah, absolutely not.
I know. Well, we expect to be on really once a day with you now. So.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the 2 hours is ours.
Change the numbers quick. No, I'm kidding. We'll meet you back here
Silence.
Next time. And hey, text me, Aaron, when you let me know about Garrison, okay?
Oh, yes, I for sure will.
Let's listen in here for a moment.
Do you ever get the feeling that there's something greater happening here? Do you ever get the feeling that there's something greater happening here? It's like our hearts are a part of a bigger story. Have you ever seen the ocean from the shore? Ever stood under a blanket of burning stars and tried to count them all? Did it make you feel small? Have you ever felt peace in the middle of pain? Witnessed a miracle.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.